Okay, we start. Anyway, I don't remember my stories, regretfully, but there's a famous story which I don't remember, that there was a person learning in yeshiva, and he got a letter from home that please come home because your father is sick and he needs help. And the Rosh Yeshiva hid the letter and didn't show it to the son because he wanted to go home. Then he gets another letter, please come home, your father died. Yeshiva hides the letter. Then he gets another letter, please come home. I think the cow died. And then please come home. The village burned down. The whole city burned down. You know, basically, about, I don't remember exactly. But the whole, so finally, the Shiva shows his boy all these letters and say, you see what the Satan wanted for you, how important your learning is. He burnt down the whole village just to get you out of yeshiva, right? So you see how important the guys, the Satan had to mess up the whole pizza shop that they couldn't get a delivery so that we could ruin Base Medrash Week. Mamish, see how important it is. Not a good raya. Okay. Anyway, all right. If you don't like my jokes, it's too bad. Okay. I want to say a very beautiful, a nice Musar Vad, and a point that very dear to my heart. I said this a little bit on Shabbos, but I'll say it in the Bernstein Bar Mitzvah. There's a pasuk by in last week's parsha by Yechi. It says Ben Paras Yosef, that Yaakov gives a bracha to Yosef, Ben Paras Yosef. So it's very unclear what this bracha is. No one knows because no one knows Hebrew. But Rashi says of Shat that it means as follows. Quotes a Medrash that it means that when Esav came, Yosef apparently was a young boy. It says that all the children, first the mother bowed down with the children. But by Rachel, she only had one child. And there it says, Nigash Yosef Rachel. Yosef stood in front of his mother and he bowed. Why did he do that? Because Omar Yosef. Rachel is very beautiful. And he says, Esav is a big Baal Taiva. He's going to see Rachel. He's going to decide he wants her. So he decided he's going to block his vision. But Yosef was a little boy, so he couldn't block the vision so much. So he says, Higdalta. He went ahead, like he stood on his tippy toes. He went ahead and he stood very, Higdalta Atzmecha Yosef. You made yourself big. You pushed yourself up to block Esav's vision. So therefore, Lefikach Sechisa the Gedula. That's why you reached Gedula, because you stood up on your tippy toes. So I always thought this was like an amazing Rashi. It's a Medrash. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef had a life of probably the hardest nisyonos. He did the most amazing mitzvahs. He had the nisyon of Eishes Potiphar. Comes along Yaakov and he wants to give Yosef a bracha. Doesn't say he mentions anything about Eishes Potiphar. Oh, Yosef, you're amazing. You know why you're amazing? When you were 8 years old, you stood on your tippity toes. Like, big deal. What's so difficult? Standing on your tippity toes? What was the big gedula? Like, then that's what you mentioned when he was 8 years old. What about all the other mitzvahs I did for the last 50 years? If I was Yosef, I'd be very insulted. I was a little boy then. Okay, well, big deal. But the idea, the message is that sometime it could very well be that after all said and done, this was Yosef's biggest mitzvah of his life because he saved Rachel. And that's a tremendous mitzvah. So, okay, you did a lot of great things, Yosef, in your life. But the greatest thing you did when you were 8 years old, I made up eight, I'm just picking an age, you saved your mother's life. Because Esav would have taken one of your mother, and Alpiderech HaTeva, obviously maybe Hashgacha wouldn't have let it happen anyway, but Alpiderech HaTeva, you saved your mother's life. What it means is that sometimes the greatest mitzvah a person can go through life and do the greatest mitzvah, not because it's such a hard nisayin, but you never know when your greatest opportunity comes your way. And it could happen when you're 8 years old, could happen when you're 10, could happen when you're 20. You never know. Opportunities sometimes come when we're least expecting it. And the gathers of Yosef was that he thought of it. That's all. Many people wouldn't have thought of it. Yosef thought of it. He noticed the problem, and he did something. Right. We have a very similar thing in this week's parsha. We have simple pshat in the psukim. Rashi maybe learns a little different, but simple pshat. Moshe runs away from Mitzrayim, and he comes to Midian, and he sees that the Royim are bothering the daughters of Yisro. So what does he do? He goes ahead and he helps them give their water to their sheep. So fine, and he leaves. The daughters come home, and they Vatomer, and the father asks them, Madua Mahartem, how come you came home sooner today than usual? Usually it takes you longer. Innocent question. And he said, oh, you know what happened? There was this Ish Mitzri who went ahead, it was very nice to us, he did us a favor, and he went ahead and he saved us from those pesty Royim that always bother us, and not only that, but he helped us with the animals. Vayomer the Elbanos, he says, Vayom! You know, why don't you invite him for a meal? That's Pashib Shad. Right? What would have happened if Yisrael wouldn't have done that? Right? Pashib Shad, if he wouldn't have done that, he said, okay, you know, it was very nice, I'm glad to hear. You know, then that's it. Yisrael would have never met Moshe. He would never become Moshe's son-in-law. He would have never been Mizgayer. Nothing. So Yisro went ahead and hopped this opportunity of, oh, let's invite him for a meal. And that changed his whole life. In other words, sometimes so it's also a little action, but it transforms. So it's the same theme, is that everyone's looking for that, you know, giant mitzvah. You never know. Sometimes the giant mitzvah comes when you don't expect it, and you don't realize it. I'll give you a practical case. I go to Publix, right? And I'm standing in line, and it almost happens to me almost not every week. I'm there on Friday, and there's a guy in front of me whose wagon's full of non-kosher products. And then he looks at me and he says, oh, what time is candle lighting tonight? So what do I tell him? 5:30. Okay. That's it. Now, maybe I should invite him for the Shabbos meal? You kidding? Invite him for the Shabbos meal? But the guy it's possible that the guy is looking for something, right? That's why is he asking me that? The guy he's not buying Shabbos candles, I assure you. He's buying his ham and bacon, whatever. He's not buying Shabbos candles. But he wants me to know that, oh, I'm Jewish. That means he has some... It's important to him to let me know that he's Jewish. So maybe that means that he's interested. So maybe I should try being mekar of him. I'm kidding. I'm too busy. I'm not going to bother finding this guy in my Shabbos meal. Right? But it could be, you never know, that if I would invite him to Shabbos meal, maybe really he really is interested. And I could, you know, invite him for a meal. And then I'll invite him to a meal again. And I'll buy a meal again, and then I'm going to send them off to Israel and to Or Sameach, and then and he'll come back about tshuva, and he'll get married, and all his children and grandchildren, great children, and it's all because I'm going to invite him for a Shabbos meal. But what happens? I'm too busy. I'm not going to bother inviting him for a Shabbos meal, right? That's what Yisro. I'm going to invite this guy. He's gone. He's right on here. He's Moshe left already. Go back and find that guy and invite him. Right? The point is that I said this on Shabbos. My father used to say over all the time from his Rebbeim that when people think, what is our worst avera that we do in our lives? So if you ask people, they won't say in public, but they'll say in private, they'll give a whole list of aveiros that they did. Right? I'll also give you a whole list, but I'm not telling anyone. My father used to say from his rabbeim, the worst aveiros is all those lists you can throw in the garbage. You got much worse aveiros. The worst aveiros is that guy in public that you didn't invite. The worst aveiros is all those golden opportunities that you left slip through your fingers. The Binyamin had that chance in the ULHL and you just didn't think of it. You know, there was a guy drowning and you just let him drown because you were distracted. You didn't think of it, right? Binyamin could have not thought of saving Rachel. Imagine if he wouldn't have thought of it. I'll be derech ateva, Rachel would have been taken by Esav. And it's all Binyamin's fault. And he probably wouldn't even know he could have done anything about it, right? In this case, Yisro wouldn't have invited Moshe. He would go through the rest of his life being a nobody. And he'd come up to Shemayim and they say, hey, what happened to the Parsha that we were supposed to write? What? Not even Jewish, you know? Right? It's a scary thing. There are people that are amazing at this. Rabbi Cohn told me, for example, that in Israel, anytime he goes into a taxi, He makes sure to take a Jewish taxi. A lot of people make sure to take Jewish taxis for safety. But he makes sure to take a Jewish taxi because of he wants to be able to talk to the taxi driver. He says, he's captive audience. Not him, the taxi driver. He's stuck with me for 10 minutes while we're driving. I'm not going to sit there and just, you know, I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to give him mussar. You know? Okay. And then Rabbi Gaon said, and when he leaves, I always give the guy a nice tip. Now, it happens to be in Israel, anyone who knows taxis, you don't have to tip in Israel. So tipping is an American mishigas. It makes no sense. The guy's getting paid for the taxi. Why do I have to tip him? But Rabbi Gaon says he makes believe like he doesn't know. He knows his wife is Israeli. He knows quite well that you don't have to tip in Israel. But he tips because he wants, after he gave the guy 10, 15 minutes of mussar, whenever he wants the guy to think, well, that was a nice guy. He gave me 10 shekel. Oh. So he says, you know, he's just, the difference between myself and Rabbi Cohen is I get into a taxi and I, you know, want to just mind my own business. If the guy asks me a question, I'll say, But Rabbi Cohen wants, you know, there's a chance. You know, now, what are the odds that you're going to succeed in me carve this guy? But you never know. So you have the opportunities. Now sometimes we blow the opportunities because of other reasons. In other words, one of the most powerful shmuzim Rashiva had is happened in this week's parsha, last week's parsha. The Rashiva has a shmuz, the famous Rashi that Rivka said. Lama Eshko Eshnechem B'yom Echad. I forgot the Lashon that she said, she said something, why should I lose? Why should Yaakov and Esau both die both on the same day? Right? It's a pasuk. When she's telling Yaakov to run away, Lama Eshko Gam Shnechem Yom Echad. So Chazal said that she had a vua, she didn't know what she was in another. That what happened was that when Yaakov, we didn't die exactly the same day, but they were buried the same day. So that's considered that they died the same day. That when they brought Yaakov to the Moriah and Machpelah, so Esav came and protested. And he said, you can't bury Yaakov the Moriah and Machpelah because I'm the Bechor, and I get the Moriah and Machpelah. So he said, you sold the Bechor. He says, okay, even I sold it, but I still should get an even right. So he already buried Leah there. So now I should have one right. So he said, no, you sold everything, not just the Bechor. You sold even more than the Bechor. He said, who said? Prove it. He said, well, we have a star. Where is the star? Well, no, we didn't bring it with us. It's a Mitzrayim. I don't believe you. Go bring the star. So they went. It says Naphtali, who was very fast, went back to Mitzrayim to get the star. Meanwhile, they're just standing there. And it says Chushim ben Dan, who was deaf, so he couldn't hear anything, so he didn't know what's going on. Just all of a sudden, the whole Levaya stopped. He's sitting around doing nothing. So, again, apparently he could hear, but it's difficult. So he asked him, what's going on? So he said, well, Esav is insisting he needs a star. He says, what? Well, meanwhile, we're going to sit down here and wait And Yaakov's going to be Bizayin until you go all the way back to Mitzrayim and back again? So he just took out his sword and he chopped off Esau's head. And it says that Esau's head rolled into the Maariv Machpelah. That's why Esau is also buried in the Maariv Machpelah. They say it's Sfas Emes, that his head made it to the Maariv Machpelah because he had a gevaldik head. The rest of his body never made it because his head body, the rest of his body was not so gevaldik. But he had a lot, he was brilliant. He had a lot of Torah knowledge, so his head made Maariv Machpelah. But anyway, so that's the Medrash. So the Reshiva asked the Gasha, apparently it was the right thing to kill Esau because he shouldn't be Mevaza Yaakov. So why did only Chushim and Dan do it? Why didn't anyone else do it? So he said, because you don't, the first resort is not you kill the guy. First resort is you can try and convince him. So they tried convincing Esau. They said, listen, you sold it. We know you sold it. You sold it before. Don't you know? And everyone knows that. Yeah, I did. And then they will bring the star. So they said they got into a certain pattern. Once you get into a certain way of thinking, it's very hard to change your thought process. So they got into, everyone else got into, we're gonna prove to Esau that he's wrong. So Mameda, the next step is bring the star. Who's been done is starting from scratch. Starts from scratch, can make the right decision. So Rashiva said, I gotta be careful what I said, but we'll say it anyway. You have a guy who's a senior in high school, right? And for the last 4 years, he's decided he's been a pattern. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do this. I'm going to become a lawyer. Right? He has this pattern in life. So he's stuck in his way. So you don't change. You're stuck. All of a sudden, hey, wait a second. The guy got to be a chushim ben dan. Start fresh. Let's start thinking about it from fresh. Oh, you think about it from fresh. All of a sudden, you realize, you know, maybe I made a mistake. We should do things differently. Or the situation changed. I didn't realize the information. But you get locked into a certain pattern, and then we get lazy. We don't change. So just to summarize, what I'm saying like this. The biggest problem, my father's Rabbeim used to say that the biggest Avera that we do is not, even though Lashon Hara is pretty bad, and Gilei Arayis, and all these things are pretty bad, but he used to say the worst Avera is all the missed opportunities that we miss. We could have been the God of Ador. We could have done so many mitzvahs, and we just blow them. And why do we miss opportunities? So there's different reasons. Either because we just don't realize. But Yosef, was the great tzchus that Yosef had is just he noticed the opportunity. So I don't think there was anything else. He just realized that I better stand there. Sometimes we don't do it because we're lazy. Why wouldn't Yisro invite Moshe for the meal? Why don't I invite this guy for a meal? Because I'm lazy. Right? He's not here. We can go back and find Moshe and invite him for the meal. Okay. You should have invited him. You didn't invite him. Okay. Forget it. Sometimes we don't do the right mitzvah because we are locked in our preconceived notions. That's the Chushim and Dan Shmuz. And sometimes we don't do the mitzvah because we're embarrassed. Right? Sometimes we're embarrassed. Right? Sometimes we're embarrassed because, you know, people are going to laugh at us, especially in this crazy world. People laugh at you when you're a tzaddik. Right? Oh, you're a goody-goody. Oh, what? Oh, you became from. Right? You know, something. They brainwashed you. Right? So here, I told this story. It's a true story. There was a guy in yeshiva. He came in Israel. I was a rabbi in Israel. And there's a guy, he was a class clown in his yeshiva. He was from Flatbush. He was a class clown. He came to Israel, and everyone expected him to be the class clown also. And he decided he wants to get serious. But he couldn't get serious because all his friends expected him to be the class clown. So he told me, you know what, he's going to go to a new yeshiva and start fresh. He wants to go to a yeshiva and start fresh. And in the middle of the year, he goes, I should set him up. So I called up one of our branches, and I got him in. I told him this guy, he has a lot of, even though he hasn't learned too much yet, but he's very motivated. I got really impressed. I get really motivated. I want to start a whole, okay. Anyway, he left Israel. He's going to start a new place where no one knows him. Start fresh. It's going to really work. And then I meet this reshiva that I called later, a few months later. Whatever happened to that guy that you called me about? I said, what? He never showed up. I don't know. So eventually, I don't know when it was, but I meet this guy, and I ask him, you know, what happened, you know? He said, you were going, you never showed up. He says, yeah, you know what happened? I got off the plane, and my father picked me up from the airport, and my father said, oh, yeah, okay, you flunked another time, yeah. You know, you're doing good, you know, you dropped out of yeshiva, you know, 6 months in Israel, and then you're ready out. He says, no, I decided to get really serious and go to a new yeshiva, no one knows me. And my father smirked. Yeah, sure. He says, that's it. My father's laughing at me. I couldn't do it anymore. So I just went to Brooklyn College and gave it up. Right? It's a true story. Some people we don't, because we're afraid of being laughed at. So they're going to be, the guys are going to laugh at you. They brainwash you. They got you. Right? I'll tell you a different story. This is the opposite story. This is the Clermont campus, right? Everybody knows Clermont campus. Why is it called the Clermont campus? Because the Clermont family gave a very substantial donation to name this campus. How did it happen? The Clermont campus gave such a nice donation. So I was there from the beginning. It was amazing. It was a story. It was Hanukkah. I don't remember what year, but a number of years ago, Rabbi Nyman comes over to me and says he heard that there was one of the Clermont's daughter lived about a mile block around the corner on 9th Avenue. There's some nice houses there. I think it was the house that the Samar Rebbe is in now. It was one of the Clermont daughters lived in that house. Anyway, since then they moved, obviously. Since I heard that the Clermont are having a family reunion, all the families having a Hanukkah party. So they said, yeah, so what? So we should go. I said, Rabbi Nyman, were we invited? Of course not, but they'll be thrilled if we come. I said, Rabbi Nyman, we can't just barge in on someone's Hanukkah party. No, come on, they'll be thrilled if we come. Okay? Listen, Rabbi Nyman slaps me along. So, we're not invited. They don't know we're coming. It's just family. We knock on the door. You know, they open the door like, you know, they're relaxed. You know, they're a religious family, but not the most, you know, these two rabbis come into their Hanukkah party, okay? Okay, so we sit down at the table, okay? I mean, I want to speak. Okay? Speech. Okay? He speaks on what a wonderful the yeshiva's relationship with the Kerman family. And I think it would be such a wonderful idea if the Clermonts would dedicate the campus, and he mentioned some sum, which is, you know, whatever, over $1 million, you know. I said, you barge into their house without getting invited, and you ask them for $1 million? In the world are you doing? But that's how he got the money. You know? Anyway, it was just...
They just gave on the spot?
No, they didn't give on the spot. But that's... Rabbi and I put the idea in their head that, you know, it would be such a wonderful idea if they would dedicate the Clermont campus. And he said the amount. He said, he said how much it would cost. And he put the idea in their head. And then, you know, then he reminded them again. And I think he actually made up a picture of the yeshiva put the name Clermont campus on it, photoshopped it, and gave them a picture. And okay, but the mice, it just means that that sometimes we are too bashful. I would have never gone to their party for sure. I would never open my mouth at the party, right? And I surely would not have asked for $1 million. You know,
that was the right thing.
You did do the right thing. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Of course, you did the right thing. I'm trying to say that sometimes we miss golden opportunities because we're bashful. We're afraid. Oy vey, what's coming to worse? So they'll think I'm being Nyman. It's crazy. Okay.
Yeah, but
they'll
lose their relationship.
It's not a good thing.
What?
That's a golden opportunity.
Can't hear you.
And they won't give money.
No. I mean, Nyman's smart enough. He knew that there'd be... Okay, so just think he's a little... A little overly aggressive. I don't know.
Is that a golden opportunity?
Because they got $1 million out of it.
That's not the Shmaya. That's not logical what happened.
It was logical. It means the point they're just trying to say, and I want to make we got to make narrative here, that there are so life, we go through life, and we could go ahead. There are so many opportunities. And sometimes, I know for myself, I don't want to start talking about anything, but when I think back, I'm not such an old person, but I think back, like, the biggest mitzvahs that I did in my life and the biggest gains that I gained were just, they weren't, like, difficult. It just, I noticed some opportunity and I grabbed it. And, you know, and it worked out. Sometimes, very often, opportunities work out much worse than you think. That's usual. But once in a while, things work out thousands of times better than you expected. It's just the way it is in life. You never know. So, what? I'm not telling you, Marshall. Anyway, but I told you too many Marshalls already. Right? So once in a while, you invite someone to your house and it becomes frum. Once in a while, just see Yisro invited Moshe and he got a son-in-law. You know, there are these things that sometimes, sometimes we went to Rav Hunder, and Rav Hunder was upset. He missed an opportunity. This was like 50 years later, because he went to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to learn by Kabbalah, and by the time he got to Eretz Yisrael, the person he wanted to learn from was Nifter. So he missed it. I just mean to say that, well, we have to realize that life, there are many opportunities. Sometimes it's just a question of noticing the opportunity. Like Binyamin had, Yosef had to notice the opportunity. So basically, it's just to sum up. First step is you have to notice them. Binyamin, the goddess of Binyamin was he noticed the opportunity. Then you have to not be lazy. If you're lazy, then you just, Yisro could have been lazy. You gotta be able to be open-minded. Can't be closed-minded, right? That was the mind of Chushan ben Dan, that he was open-minded, because he didn't. And you have to have sometimes a shtickle chutzpah. Can't have chutzpah too. And then when you do that, then opportunities come, you take them. We're just going to end. Rabbi Moshe Chait, that's Rabbi Brigida, Dr. Brigida's father-in-law. He was Rashiv in Israel. His most famous shmooz was on this week's parsha. Right? His basic, now I can't do it right because I can't do justice to his shmooz. But his basic shmooz went like this, that it says that when Moshe was being Roya Sayin Yisro, so he's going and he sees Bayar and he sees a sneh boar ve'esh. He sees a sneh burning. And it's a strange thing, that sneh ain't oicho. It's burning, but it's not getting burnt up. Okay? Strange things. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe says, Asura Novera, I'm going to walk over and look at this. Madua lo yirezei. No, it's a little strange. I wonder why that's happening. Because he wasn't late. He said, look. Vayar Hashem kitzar liros. So because he went ahead and he went to look, so that's why Hashem called on him. So the mashmaos of the pasuk is, if he wouldn't have gone to look, then Hashem wouldn't have called on him. So Rabbi Chait said that if Moshe would have been lazy or just not observant, and he wouldn't have noticed the sneh bear, and he would have gone ahead and walked by, so he said he would have kept on walking right, and he was after with the glasses. After the hair, he would have kept on walking right into oblivion. he would have missed his opportunity. He had an opportunity, Hashem's kind, but he had to take the first step. The first step was he had to go Sarni Rose. If he wanted to take in the first step, that's it. He would have missed it. So sometimes we got and we don't even know. You know, we miss so many opportunities, and we miss it, and we don't know. If Moshe would have missed this opportunity, he wouldn't have known that he missed the opportunity. Right? If Yisro would have missed inviting Moshe, he wouldn't have known. So we miss so many opportunities, and we don't even know about it. So the main thing is, I think, is we have to go ahead and keep our eyes open, and we have to think and plot and try and break our heads to find opportunities. And when we do think of an opportunity, we can't be lazy and we can't be bashful and we can't be, we have to have a little chutzpah. We got to do it. And then we, B'ezras Hashem, we'll get all these greatest opportunities of our lives. Okay, shkayach.